Ladies and gentlemen, could you please take your seats? Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here. For those who are on the phone, I'm Rolf Soiron, chairman of Holcim. With me is Bruno Lafont, the chairman and CEO of Lafarge. Bruno and I are very excited to be here this morning to present to you our project to create the most advanced group in the building materials industry through a merger of equals. The name of the new group will be Lafarge Holcim. Seizing a unique opportunity, this transaction marks a breakthrough in anticipating the needs of a changing world. You have probably all seen the press release, and I'm delighted that Bruno and I now have this chance to explain to you in a bit more detail why this is a unique opportunity indeed. We have here with us Bernard Fontana, the CEO of Holcim, Thomas Aebischer, the CFO of Holcim, and Jean-Jacques Cottier, the CFO of Lafarge, to answer your questions you may have. I would also like to welcome here today Wolfgang Reitzle, the chairman-elect of Lafarge Holcim, who will replace me soon as the chairman of Holcim at our AGM later this month. I would like to start by showing you a very impressive map. This map represents our portfolio and our global industrial network in the future. As you can see by yourself, we are present all over the world, and this footprint alone is the illustration of the heritage of both our companies and what we will be in the future. It is a clear and bright demonstration of what I have just told you. Lafarge Holcim is an addition of great opportunities and balanced risk, and it is going to create a world leader with a European base. Let me start then by presenting you the rationale behind this development and the main highlights of this transaction. Bruno then will set out the key strengths of this new group and its outstanding value creation proposition, and we will finish by going through the expected next steps in this process. So let's go into the heart why we are taking this step. Our vision, and I cannot repeat it often enough, our vision is to create the most advanced group in building materials. What does this mean? By combining our two groups, we are building the best growth platform in the industry with the most global, diversified and balanced footprint, already well established in high growth markets and with a significant exposure to the recovery potential in developed economies, and best in class operating performance in the market to generate strong returns, further enhanced by synergies, and we clearly have the ambition to transform the industry fundamentally. We want to lead the race to anticipate the changing needs of the building materials industry in the 21st century. First, by enhancing the value proposition for our customers to meet their requirements. Second, addressing globally and hence efficiently the challenges of urbanization. And third, setting the benchmark for corporate social responsibility, including both sustainability and climate change mitigation. But this is not just putting two companies together. This is a major step in the histories of both companies, which will translate into unique value proposition for shareholders with, again, a new best-in-class portfolio, significant synergies, a commitment to strict capital allocation discipline underpinning an already strong capital structure, and focusing on delivering attractive returns to shareholders. This ambition having been set, let's look quickly at the key transaction highlights. I would first like to say that the deal has been unanimously approved by the boards of the two companies and is fully supported by our core shareholders. This is a merger of equals with an exchange ratio of one Holcim share for one Lafarge share. As part of this merger, we plan divestments representing sales of about 5 billion euros as a part of strategic portfolio optimization, but also anticipating regulatory requirements. We expect about 1.4 billion euros of synergies, and we will give you a more detailed overview later in this presentation. And the closing of this transaction is expected in the first half of 2015. Coming back to the spirit of the transaction, we had two guiding principles. First of all, it should be balanced, but it should also be efficient. This is why we defined a clear governance structure that meets these two objectives of balance and efficiency. The board of directors, which will be chaired by Wolfgang Reitzle, will be equally composed of Holcim and Lafarge directors, with seven members drawn from each side. Bruno Lafont, the chairman and CEO of Lafarge, will become the chief executive officer of the new group and a member of the board. Thomas Ebischer, the CFO of Holcim, will become chief financial officer of Lafarge Holcim. Jean-Jacques Gauthier, the CFO of Lafarge, will become the new chief integration officer. In addition, we will set up an integration committee to prepare the integration plan right from now. This committee will be co-chaired by Bernard Fontana, the CFO of Holcim, to ensure that the integration can be implemented from day one after closing. The new group will be listed on the SIX Stock Exchange in Zurich as well as on Euronext Paris, and our central corporate functions will be balanced between Zurich and Paris. The pro forma shareholder structure is shown here on the slide. In terms of shareholding structure, the new group will present a large and highly liquid free float while benefiting from the presence on the board of directors of the three core shareholders, namely Thomas Schmidheiny, Group Bruxelles-Lambert, and NNS Holding. I've already said that they are fully supportive of the transaction, which is important for us. We would like to thank them for their commitment to this historic step indeed for the two groups. This transaction is essentially the combination of two leaders already, two very successful groups creating a transformational player in our industry, a world champion with a European base, operating across 90 countries in both developed and high-growth geographies with combined sales of 32 billion euros. As part of the transaction, to ensure a strong capital structure, optimized geographical exposure, and to anticipate regulatory requirements, we intend to divest about 10 to 15% of the group's combined EBITDA. In addition, we expect to derive synergies of about 1.4 billion euros. Therefore, on a pro forma basis, the new combined group will achieve a higher EBITDA with an optimized portfolio. But this is not enough, and this transaction is not about size alone, but is rather about creating value for all stakeholders. I start with our customers. Lafarge Holcim will be able to leverage an outstanding offer in terms of advanced products and integrated solutions to enhance the value proposition for these customers, and also to address the challenges of urbanization, including sustainable construction. Stakeholder local communities close to our locations will further benefit from the long-lasting commitment of the two companies to them. We will share best practices of engagement with local communities and contribute to local communities around the world. Our employees can look forward to working for the most advanced building material group in the world. The enlarged group will enhance career prospects for all employees and will increase the opportunities to share experience from a much wider talent pool. Both groups' teams are amongst the best in the sector, and they will now have access to a unique pool of experience. And obviously, it represents an outstanding value proposition for our shareholders. Now I hand over to Bruno. Bruno, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Rolf, and good morning to everyone. I'm as excited as Rolf to be able to announce this merger, creating the most advanced global building materials group. This is a unique opportunity for our shareholders and stakeholders, and I'm so pleased with our agreement that combines balance and efficiency under the best corporate governance rules, and I'm convinced that the strength of our combined teams will create a very, very strong case regarding execution. First, let me to explain what we intend to build here. Lafarge Holcim will become the cutting-edge company in the building materials market. It will build on a superior offering of product solutions and services and the most balanced and diversified geographical spread of activities, further optimized through a strategic review and consequent divestments. Our footprint is unmatched and will allow us to benefit from the long-term development of high-growth markets, but also to leverage the recovery in developed countries. Lafarge Holcim will be greater than the sum of its parts. It represents, again, a unique opportunity to scale up both companies' operational excellence and to achieve a market-leading ability to innovate through our outstanding R&D expertise. And that scale-up effect is actually supported by the complementary nature of our geographical spread of businesses, notably in high-growth markets. It becomes even more marked when you drill down into individual countries. Straight away, you can see that Lafarge has a strong presence in Middle East and Africa, while Holcim has leading positions in Latin America. In Asia, we also have many complementary positions when we go at country level. The new group will operate in 90 countries, out of which 73 are emerging markets, and will have leading positions in cement, aggregates, and concrete. We will be wherever our customers need us, matching their varying needs, whether they are big or small. This footprint will be further optimized through a proactive divestment program whilst anticipating regulatory requirements. We have looked very carefully at all potential competition considerations and are very sensitive to the regulator's requirements. This strategic process will be monitored by a divestment committee, and the overall level of divestment is expected to be between 10 and 15% of the combined EBITDA. All our assets are high-quality assets run by highly skilled teams. This divestment plan represents a unique opportunity for potential buyers, underpinning the strategic optimization of our footprint. All in all, this will result in a very strong capital structure. At the end of this process, It is expected that the group will generate approximately 60% of sales in high-growth markets and about 40% in developed markets. In addition, no single market will represent more than around 10% of sales. You all know that high-growth markets have huge needs for our products. We produce and sell staple products that represent an outstanding long-term growth potential. LafargeHolcim will then benefit from the best platform to leverage its recognized operational excellence. Each company prides itself on its professionalism. The combined company will see cross benefits in such areas as technology and best practices as we learn from each other. Building on the momentum created by the existing cost optimization program, with the Lafarge cost reduction plan on one side and the Holcim leadership journey on the other, the new group is ready to deliver superior performance. It will also be uniquely positioned to address the entire value chain, both in terms of products and value-added solutions and services. Furthermore, by extracting the full potential of its footprint, we will reduce the capital intensity, primarily focusing on debottlenecking and selective brownfield investments, and will benefit from the new scale to reduce the cost of investments. You know that nothing is possible without people in our industry. The quality of our teams is absolutely key to our future. LafargeHolcim's people are a vital part of its future success, and I want to take this opportunity to thank them for their hard work to date and to spell out that we will maintain a strong and shared commitment to our employees in the future. We will integrate teams at a local level with the objective of further developing the highest standards of expertise, innovation, and diversity. We will maintain our commitment to health and safety and to developing a world-class learning and developmental environment for our staff. You can see that the new group we are shaping with this transaction is an outstanding platform built to tackle the great challenges of increasing urbanization around the world. We said we want to enhance the value proposition for our customer. This is indeed our primary goal. This merger will result in an increase in the quality and depth of choice for all our customers right across the value chain, bringing benefits to them all. From the large construction companies that need the most advanced and technical solutions to build high-rise buildings, bridges or tunnels or tramway everywhere in the world, through to those individuals who need affordable and ready available products or solutions to build a house, especially in emerging markets. We will be in a position to match customers' needs everywhere in the world, especially at a time where large building companies are becoming more global and urbanization is gathering pace in all sense. Of course, the broad-term urbanization covers multiple market issues. We cannot address all of them, but with our solutions and services, we can contribute to some of the very important challenges that go along with urbanization. And here I am referring to facilitating the construction of affordable housing, lowering the cost of construction, providing fresh solutions that can be used to limit urban sprawl, helping our customers to improve transport infrastructure and connectivity, contributing to beautiful buildings and infrastructures, and ensuring durability of cities with a focus on quality. LafargeHolcim will be better equipped to meet these challenges than any other company in the world. And I would like to underline here the key part of research and development for LafargeHolcim's future. The new group will have the best-in-class R&D network, drawing on more than 1,000 dedicated experts. The Central Research Center, located in Lyon, will work alongside a network of regional development laboratories in every continent. This will be the heart of our value proposition to customers. We have achieved amazing progress in research over the past decades, benefiting from better performing technologies. It is transforming the way we see our business and how we work on products today. Our market is not anymore just about selling cement, aggregates, and concrete. It is about enlarging the scale of our approach and promoting concrete-based solutions so that concrete becomes the preferred solution for construction against any other solution. Our R&D platform will enable us to develop and then operate a full range of advanced products on a worldwide scale, from the ultra-high performance concrete used in bridges to the affordable cement-based block solutions for emerging markets, and including solutions to improve the energy efficiency of buildings or reduce the use of natural resources. This is a perfect transition to the second ambition we have set for this new group. We want to set the benchmark for sustainability. Working with local communities for more than a century, both groups have developed over the years a strong commitment to CSR policy and particularly to sustainability. Both groups were co-founders of the Cement Sustainability Initiative. We are leaders in the field of climate change mitigation, and we intend to make a step further. You have understood that this merger is transformational and is about addressing globally the main challenges of tomorrow. It is a deal about growth, merging two very complementary footprints in high-growth markets, leveraging on two leaders' strengths, and creating a platform to promote innovation throughout the world. It is to give rise to the champion of the industry with a superior value. And I now come to the unique value proposition this transaction represents to shareholders. The principle here is very simple. We will significantly improve profitability while reducing the capital intensity of our business. This will be achieved through a combination of a best-in-class portfolio, which minimizes the risk profile of the group and provides the highest growth, the sharing of best-in-class operational excellence, and more innovation. We believe that LafargeHolcim offers superior growth potential backed by significant synergies. At the same time, capital allocation will remain absolutely key, and the transaction perfectly reflects this, with a deal that is structured as an all-share deal and with divestments that will further reinforce the capital structure of the new group. The transaction delivers outstanding value for shareholders. Going forward, we want to extract the full value of this powerful portfolio while maintaining the utmost capital allocation discipline. This means, first, to commit to a strong financial structure, which goes along with a strong investment-grade rating. Second, to focus on an attractive dividend payout policy for our shareholders. And third, to be selective in terms of development investment while continuing to optimize the asset portfolio. Our goal is to generate a superior return on capital employed. Obviously, synergies are a significant contribution to the value creation, and I would like to spend a few minutes on this. We have identified four main areas where synergies can be extracted. First, operational optimization and share of best practices. Here we mean trying to align everywhere on best performance. We actually have already identified promising opportunities in optimizing logistics and distribution, production, energy consumption, and information technology. Second, by leveraging economies of scale, we can generate sizable procurement synergies. Centralized material and energy expenses for both groups represent about 7 billion euro. 3% of this already represents more than 200 million euro. This is the power of scale. On SG&A, we have some further optimization possibilities. The objective here is to leverage both central and local SG&A. It is worth noting that the expected savings represent less than 1% of our combined sales and will be delivered over 3 years. Lastly, we will leverage on our innovation platform. We will cross-fertilize our portfolio of products, solutions, and services, deploying them on an expanded scale. We clearly expect this to be a significant source of revenues and synergies. In total, we see this delivering 1 billion euros of synergies at EBITDA level. Now, I'll move on to financing and cash flow synergies. Here we see the potential for financing savings of up to 200 million euros in the long run. More efficiency in terms of maintenance and expansion CapEx should result in additional cash savings of 200 million euros. Finally, thanks to best practice sharing on optimizing working capital, we envisage 410 million euros of savings. We expect to generate these synergies over 3 years. We have taken into account the equivalent of 1 year of run rate EBITDA synergies as an estimate of implementation costs that mainly relates to IT and consulting fees. This level is in line with a benchmark on similar transactions, but our objective is, of course, to be below that level. These synergies will significantly enhance the profitability profile of the new group, and there, the execution will be key, as Rolf mentioned earlier. This is why we have created an integration committee, which will have to prepare the integration plan so that it is ready for implementation from day one after closing. We will be able to leverage on the existing efficiency programs momentum that are already running in both companies. This makes us very confident that these synergies will be fully achieved. I am convinced we have anticipated everything to make this merger a success. Why? Because we have a clearly defined leadership. We have an identified cost optimization program built on the proven capabilities of both companies. We have a shared vision, and we are sharing the same values. Lastly, let's focus on the key figures in terms of our combined earnings and capital structure. Based on 2013 figures, the group EBITDA margin after disposals and run rate synergies would have been at around 24%, with a ratio of net debt to EBITDA below 2x. This does not take into account the enhanced growth profile of the new entity. As you can see, LafargeHolcim will be much stronger than just the sum of its parts, and we will focus on maximizing the return on capital employed, the cornerstone of the value proposition. I would now like to give the floor back to Rolf, who will take you through the next steps and conclude this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruno. What will be the next steps? First, works council consultations start immediately. Two, we will prepare the divestment program, and the work on integration plan will commence straight away. Number three, we will initiate regulatory proceedings in all relevant jurisdictions shortly. After all regulatory approvals and feedback from consultation processes have been received, we will file the public exchange offer and convene the extraordinary general assembly of Holcim for shareholders' approval, and we expect this transaction to close in the first half of 2015. I would like to stress once more the main points of this merger. We are creating the most advanced group in the global building materials market, with the European base. It is a merger of equals. It has the best growth platform. It has the most innovative solutions for customers. It has a strong cultural fit, and it has a unique value proposition for all stakeholders. You know, and sometimes we think Lafarge and Holcim were destined to meet. It just took us some time to realize it. Holcim's history in France began in the early 20th century, in the East, in the Aisne, with Aurigny, Saint-Benoît, Simon. Meanwhile, Lafarge had been created some time ago in the 1830s in the south of France in a village named Le Tay. So all we had to do was to follow the course of the River Rhône, and we were destined to meet. And now we are meeting here. We are happy to answer all your questions you may have. I would like to ask you then, when you have questions to ask, to give us your name and your affiliation. And with this, I think the question and answer session is about to start.
Good morning, gentlemen. Abdelkader Benchiar from Natixis. I got two questions. My first question, just could you give us a bit of detail regarding the disposals? I understand that part of this will depend on regulation decision. Could you detail the countries and where the risk of antitrust issues are the most important? And I understand that it's a bit early, but will the proceeds will be distributed to shareholders? And my second question is regarding synergies. Am I right to say that the synergies are totally free from previous plan of Lafarge and Holcim, especially for innovation, and all those synergies taking account capacity closures? Thank you very much.
Let me first start with a general comment regarding divestments and regulatory approval. I would like you to understand that this is done by us in a cooperative spirit with the regulators. We don't want to be in a defensive mode, and we have told regulators this. So we are in a cooperative mode as far as the precise definition then of these divestments is concerned. And there I hand over to Bruno.
So I think the divestment program will reflect, of course, our ability to solve antitrust questions and regulatory authorities, you know, demands, at the same time continue to optimize our assets base and to continue to optimize our portfolio. That is the reason why we have prepared by anticipation. We have worked a lot to understand, you know, what it could be and how we could do it. So what it could be with the principle that Rolf just explained, you know, to really have a positive and constructive answer to their demands, to think about 10 to 15% of our combined EBITDA as a total value. That represents about 5 billion euros of sales of the combined group sales. It is relatively sizable in total amount, but it is only 10 to 15% of the global sales. And then to think about, you know, the process of doing that. And I think the timing is very appropriate because we will have to sell high-quality assets managed by high-quality teams at a time where, you know, we see some recovery starting and we see a bigger potential and a strong appetite. So we are quite confident that our approach with the authorities, our way to think about divestment, the appetite that we see in the environment and low interest rates will make the execution of this divestment program, you know, not only a key element of value creation, but also a key criteria of the quality of the execution of this merger. So that's to answer the first question. What will be the divestments will be majority in Europe,
and the rest outside Europe in countries where the overlap is too strong, or regions where the overlap is too strong. That means that the total weight of the group in Europe in percentage might diminish a little bit in favor of emerging market percentage. Synergies, of course, they are free from all the various plans we have talked. So the various plans will continue. And the synergies are in excess of the plans we are talking about. And I have, you know, we are doing very often benchmarking between our two groups. Doesn't mean the group talks together. It means that we are taking the figures and trying to compare and identifying, you know, how they are doing better than us and reciprocally. And so I think this merger will accelerate, you know, the way we can reach better performance everywhere by taking the best practices, exchanging them and execute. So, and you talked about restructuring. This merger is not about restructuring. It is about creating a growth platform. And restructuring has been done by us in the last years. We will continue, you know, over the time when necessary, but today we see more some recovery in developed countries. But this merger specifically does not mean any plant closure.
Yes. Laurent Hunaché, Exane AM. Can you give us what would be the tax rate of the new co? It will be Holcim's.
I think, of course, we've done the analysis as we did pro forma accounts, but there's still a lot of work to be done. We have to look at the different tax positions in the different jurisdictions. It will also depend, of course, which countries, when you look at the mix of countries and the different tax rates, which countries we will dispose in the divestment program. So, but, you know, initially, I'm sure you will be able to look at tax rates in the range of 25% to 30%.
Thank you. We take a question from the phone. Oh, here, a last question from the room.
Thank you. Joseph Pujal from Kepler Cheuvreux. With those synergies in CapEx and EBITDA, your free cash flow will increase significantly. What is your mood? Is an offensive mood to redeploy this extra cash flow to grow more quickly, or ROC remains the key focus that we had seen was the case for the two groups in the last 2-3 years? Will this remain?
We will. The answer is very, very clear and very, very simple. With this transaction, we get the optimal positioning of our assets. And we just need to continue on focusing on the right capital allocation, which means strict discipline on CapEx, even leveraging on our knowledge to reduce the cost of investment, and focusing on the assets we have. Debottlenecking, maybe when needed, brownfields, and that is what we aim to do.
And in order to confirm it, that you see the alignment, yes, return on capital employed remains a major target. Our shareholders want that, and we want that, because this is also a necessity of transforming this industry, that this industry becomes interesting for investors again. And this took a transformational step. We could not have had this ambition without doing this bold step which we are announcing today.
So, question from the phone?
Our first question from the phone comes from Paul Roger from Exane BNP. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Just three quick questions, please. Firstly, how long have you been considering this merger, and have you already started steps in terms of integration? Secondly, what is the rationale for doing the deal now? And then thirdly, have you had any discussions with regulators in France And if so, what is their view? And if not, what do you think their view will be?
What is the rationale for doing this deal now? You know, there are sometimes windows of opportunities which are open. They have to do with people. They have to do with shareholders wanting to see return in these times. They have to do with low interest rates, which make divestment programs like this one interesting for newcomers coming into this industry or other ones becoming interested in it. But when you also look at the history of the company, the portfolio of Lafarge, I say this respectfully so, was a couple of years ago less focused than it is today. This is also true for ours. When you look at Lafarge's recent history, they have launched very similar programs of operational excellence, etc., like we have, which demonstrates that in both groups there was a management philosophy emerging which, despite the different origins, made us so similar that talking to each other had a chance now. And we had, Bruno and I, together with our boards of directors and our shareholders, we had to understand that this was a moment now to use, because that window would have been closed perhaps 1 or 2 years from now again.
So about integration, I think, you know, a key success factor of this transaction is execution. So we have created a job of Chief Integration Officer. We are creating a committee, an integration committee. This integration committee will work during the period between announcement and closing to prepare integration. That means that the day of closing, we are fully ready to implement that. And the divestment will be also managed the same way by another committee composed of members from both groups. And so we have focused a lot. That's like our governance. We have spent some time, you know, to talk together and to organize a feasible transaction, something which has been thought, something which is able to run. And I think doing that, we reduce the risk of execution, and the number of people who are already involved and appointed is just a reflection of that. How long it took us? It took us 3 months, two and a half months.
Great. And finally, on the French regulator and the French authorities?
So we have, we usually meet regulatory authorities. What is important is that we are building a fantastic growth story, an innovation story with a base in Europe, with a base from, with roots in two very important countries. One is Switzerland and the other is France. Both of these countries will remain central to the group. So that is the message that I have passed. On one side, a fantastic European history, which can only be good for the countries, you know, which are there. And on the second, you know, the idea that those countries will care for them, and they have been key for us, and they continue to be key and important to us.
That's great. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Next question from the phone.
Our next question comes from Will Morgan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just have two questions. I had to jump off the call for a short period, so apologies if any of these have been asked already. The first question is regarding your synergy targets, which clearly are quite significant. I just wondered, obviously, both Holcim and Lafarge have ongoing efficiency plans in place that carry you through to 2015 or 2016. Are these synergies that you are targeting in addition to those plans, or should we just look at these instead of these plans going forward? The second question, I just wondered if you could elaborate a little bit on your CapEx synergies that you talk about. I guess given your much larger global footprint, given that you have some overlap in a number of countries, some of which you may be able to keep, obviously there are some synergies in CapEx, but do you think the level of expansionary CapEx you will need as a group in the long term may come down as well over and above this 250 million of synergy that you talk about? I just wondered if you could elaborate a little on that. Thank you very much.
First question, I confirm that it had been answered already before you were on the line, but it gives me the opportunity to confirm as well that it is in addition the number of synergies which you have seen. CapEx, Bruno?
I would like to add, you know, you say synergies are very high. For me, they are reasonable. And I'm confident that we are committed to deliver on them. On the CapEx, your question is very interesting. So we understand that with the scale and with our knowledge and our expertise from, you know, building and investing in so many different countries on and very focused on the same, you know, type of equipments and job sites and projects, I think, yes, we can save money, you know, on the way we spend on sustaining CapEx and on brownfield, even on brownfield. So we have to exchange our experience, and we evaluate that to 200 million, so which is roughly between 7 and 10% of the today of the present amount of CapEx we do when you combine both groups. But of course, we'll have to think more, because I think there is more value to extract in this part. But you understand that not having started to work very much in depth into that, I think it is too early to answer this question. Next question.
Yeah, thank you.
Good morning, Arnaud Palliez from Raymond James. I have two questions, please. The first one is regarding the non-operating costs you will have to take into account to generate synergies. Are we in line with what we saw on the Holcim leadership journey or on the Lafarge performance plans? Is it the same order of importance? And my second question is, in light of the important excess cash flow that will be generated by the new group, can we have some guidelines about what will be the dividend policy of this new group?
So I will ask Bernard Fontana to talk about the non-operating costs and the leadership journey, and then Thomas to speak about our dividends.
So the Holcim leadership journey in Holcim continues, clearly, and the company, till the closing, will remain absolutely focused on performance and will continue the performance. And as for the synergies, you will have a cost to address those synergies that are roughly 1.2 billion Swiss franc, 0.6 year one, 0.6 year two. That are cost to make sure that those synergies are delivered. You can have a parallel with the OCP leadership journey when we said that we would have a 239 million Swiss franc cost and to deliver the fixed cost improvement we have planned. And by the way, we have delivered much more and we continue to deliver more fixed cost saving.
With respect to cash flow, you know, in my world, there's nothing like an excess cash flow. The more cash flow, the better. So we talked about CapEx, we talked about the synergies, we talked about the synergies also on the CapEx side. So cash flow clearly is a big focus area. So with respect now to the decision on attractive dividend policy will be first and foremost depending, of course, on the cash flow generation, which you have seen the number, which we feel very comfortable. It will also depend on a very solid, and Bruno has talked about this in his speech, a solid investment grade rating. And thereafter, of course, we have flexibility with respect to dividend payout. So we are looking today at a range of 30 to 50% payout.
Thank you. Next question from the phone.
Our next question comes from Gregor Kuchlich from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Two questions, please. One is with regards to antitrust, potential antitrust issues. I understand that you're confident in closing this relatively quickly. think you're talking about roughly a year, which seems relatively quick for the amount of jurisdictions that are potentially at issue here. So I guess the question is, at what point, I mean, how much have you talked to regulators, question one? Secondly, at what point do you think that if there's some major countries which oppose the potential merger, to what extent would that alter your view on delivering the synergies, and therefore to what extent does it make sense for you to still go ahead, just to maybe get a little bit sense of confidence in how much pain you can take? And then the second one on synergies, I'm a little bit surprised that you're giving three-year targets and nothing beyond that, because I'm thinking that clearly there's some very complex structures in terms of shareholding minorities on various country levels, which probably prevents you from unlocking synergies in the short term. I'm thinking particularly in India, for example, where obviously there's some complexity there. What's your view here? I mean, is the aim ultimately to merge every single country entity in one shape or another, and that ultimately unlocks more potential in due course? And then the third question is just a clarification question on the synergy number. I think you give a 400 million euro top line synergy. I think that's what you say on your slide 9. I haven't seen an according EBITDA saving number. I just wanted to get a sense where that 400 million is coming from, or is that basically the innovation side of things, just so we are clear in terms of how that feeds through in terms of what's actual costs and what is sort of top line. Thank you.
Okay, so very quickly on all your questions. Antitrust, yes, we are confident because, you know, our goal is really to respond in a very proactive way to the regulatory authorities. Our goal is to achieve these divestments and to execute this transaction. That is the most important to us, and you see that the quantity and the amount of divestments is sizable, but proportionally not critical. So that's where we believe we have room and time, and quality of executions means value is very key to us. On the synergies globally, you say maybe there are things you cannot do. So that means the amount of synergy could be increased. Yes, over the time, we will look at all the potential for improvement, and it's too early to say. We are coming with something which looks reasonable, which we are convinced we can do, and that doesn't mean we will not do more, of course. And the last point is on the top line and the innovation. I think we gave you a top line figure and the synergies on, but maybe I will ask Jean-Jacques to answer the question more precisely.
Yes, on the top line synergies, very clearly you have to consider that we will have together a very substantial turnover, about 27 billion of sales. We do estimate that a minimum of 1.5% of those of this number will be incremental revenues. That will come from the cross-fertilization of our portfolio of products. We have products which Holcim don't have, and vice versa. That will come also from the cross-fertilization on solutions. We have estimated, we believe, a conservative figure of 1.5%, which gives 200 million euros in margin and 400 million euros roughly in revenues.
Thank you. Next question from the telephone.
Our next question comes from Muriel Fellas from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have one question, actually, concerning your disposals, and also we've all seen having the asset swap with Cemex. I wanted to know if this transaction, given now the deal with Lafarge and Holcim merging together, with the asset swap with Cemex is still going through, or would there be some changes? Thank you.
There is no change in the Cemex deal anticipated right now, so my answer is no impact.
Thank you. Next question from the phone.
Our next question comes from Glynis Johnson from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. I just have two, if I may. The first one is just again on the regulators. I just want to be sure, you've obviously talked to the regulators, but the 10 to 15% of revenues you highlight, that's a Lafarge wholesome number rather than anything that's come direct from the regulator. And then secondly, just in terms of disposals, obviously you do anticipate disposals coming through from this deal, this merger. How does that impact the disposals that Lafarge were looking for in order to get them to their target at the end of this year? Should we assume that that $9 billion of net debt target that was, well, certainly in my opinion, required disposals actually perhaps no longer stands, and actually we will be in a sort of holding pattern until the deal goes through?
I understand the second question very well. Jean-Jacques will answer to it, but I need to better understand your first question.
The estimate that you've given in terms of revenues that will need to be disposed of, that will need to be disposed of because of the deal coming.
It's very simple. It's between, €4 and €5 billion of sales, of revenues.
And Jean-Jacques, that comes from the regulator, or is that a Lafarge wholesale number?
That's in an estimate that we have done by anticipation, and that we've been may, you know, satisfy the regulator's demands, but of course the process has just started and we cannot speculate on it, and it's too early to say, but it gives you an idea, and we have taken a rather constructive approach while building that.
On the debt, and on the disposal, irrespective of this transaction, Lafarge will continue to reduce debt and reach €9 billion debt level by the end of this year through improved cash flows and also some disposal. The disposal we're talking here are on top of the Lafarge disposal, which will be made to complement the cash flows until year end.
Next question from the phone.
Our next question comes from Alexandra Parida from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's two questions indeed. The first one is just to understand a bit more the formal procedures with competition. In order for you to complete the merger, would you need to have a country-by-country competition approval? Do you think the UAE competition will rule on European basis? I mean, if you can give us a bit more color on in terms of the formal procedure for that, and also if you would be able to complete the merger once you have competition answer, even before doing disposals, or all the disposals would need to be completed. And the second question is on the disposals themselves. Do you think you can pack things together and maybe do a few large disposals, or do you really think it's going to be a question of plant-by-plant, country-by-country delivery?
So we'll make it simple, efficient, and as creative, as value-creative as possible, and as, of course, answering the demands of the competition authorities. So 15 jurisdictions, you know, are will be involved. We plan to have done the divestments, you know, conditional to, of course, the closing of the transaction before we get the full authorization for most of the assets we need to divest. And I cannot give you more details about the plant-by-plant question, yes, the answer by saying it should be simple, it should be value-creative, and it should be also executable, feasible, and complying with the authorities is important.
Yes. In your view, is there a lot of divestments that are expected in the aggregate parts? First question. And just to understand how you will behave with the regulation authorities, you are going to provide them with the expected divestment that you want to do, or you are going to do the divestment before going to see them? And on the 15 jurisdictions you mentioned, with how many have you already had some informal exchanges?
As far as the
the informal exchanges are concerned, they are starting now. The most important ones have taken place. The other ones are starting now, these days, informal. You know that there are very formal steps. They follow according to the textbook. But the informal contacts will be done immediately. The other question?
I think the most important thing is that we create value, that we execute the transaction, because it's a transaction for growth and innovation, you know. And so, of course, there will be a true balance to find, but what is simple and which makes sense for competition authorities will be probably the most pragmatic approach.
And perhaps, Thomas, a comment on the aggregates?
No, with respect to aggregates, we will, again, the analysis is going market by market, and you know the footprints of Lafarge, you understand the footprint of Holcim. We are now engaging into the regulatory talks. But it's not only regulatory talks, no, it's at the end of the day, it's also important on the value of the assets. So on one hand, the driver is regulatory commitments, and on the other hand is clearly the value of the assets. There will be aggregates assets involved as well, yes.
Okay, we'll take another question from the phone.
Our next question is from John Fraser Andrews of HSBC.
Good morning. Three quick questions, please. The first one is a follow-on from the last answer on aggregates. It looks as though your cement operations, the overlap in terms of material market shares is relatively light, but on concrete and aggregates, particularly in Europe, the overlap looks to be heavier where you're both present. Is it fair to say that there'll be more disposals in the concrete and aggregates side of the business than cement? That's the first question. The second question is, in cement, do you think that the creation of this clear market leader, the numbers one and two, can give the industry better leadership on cement prices? And the final question is, in the USA, can you confirm post the Lafarge rationalizations that there's very little, if any, overlap between the cement operations in the USA? Thank you.
So I answer your last question. You're right, but it doesn't prevent us to have to consult and to check twice. On market leadership, again, this deal is not a deal of consolidation per se. It's a deal of optimizing our global portfolio and putting together all our teams, expertise and financial strength at extracting the maximum value from our markets. So that is really the strategy, with a strict financial capital allocation. And so that's really what we want to do. On aggregates and concrete, maybe, Thomas, you can continue the answer that we gave to the former question.
Right, if I understood the question right, whether it's going to be more aggregates than cement. So I don't know exactly what you mean with more. If you look at the value itself, if you take the 6 billion or 5 billion euros which we have in the slides, then clearly the majority is not aggregates, the majority is going to be in cement from a value perspective.
So I think we have to take now the last question. And as you know, there will be a second analyst and investor meeting at 5:30 p.m. Paris time. So this afternoon, for those who would have more questions. So I take now the last question from the phone.
Our last question today comes from Mike Betts of Jefferies.
Thank you very much. I've just got two left, if I could. I noticed on the pie chart of investors and the ones you've consulted, the Russian shareholder is not there. Has he been consulted, or, you obviously had to draw the line somewhere. So just, an answer really, has he been consulted and had a view? And then secondly, the issue of IT and systems integration, how difficult is that? Are the two companies using similar accounting and management systems? Thank you.
Our Russian shareholder is informed in the same way. like all other shareholders, are informed except those who are represented on the board themselves. So, yes, this has taken place. Point.
Jacques, can you tell us about IT?
On the IS and IT, the two companies are coming from different levels, have different systems broadly. At Lafarge were predominantly on GD Edwards, at Holcim on SAP. So clearly we will have to move progressively to common systems, and this will be done over the next few years because it's important to have strong systems. This is our intention, and it is included in the costs which we mentioned.
And you also mentioned you were asking the question about accounting, so I'm sure, Mike, you know both of us are using IFRS, so there's nothing really significant to be expected from that point of view.
Okay, I thank you very much for attending this meeting, and again, for those who want to ask more questions, there will be another meeting this afternoon at 5:30.